This is the Power Podcast. My name is Sarah of Underground Crowds. We hit Bible topics,
smash book studies,
punch out some songs here and there,
and light up
His Word to strengthen our souls. Thanks for listening.
All right, let's get started. I'll pray first, and then we'll talk about what we're going to talk about. Lord, I pray that you help us ultimately value wisdom. It's not just as simple as wanting to be pure, wanting to be innocent. That's definitely how it translates to our kids, if we are the kind of parents that seek wisdom in raising them. I pray that in our cultural context, where we're dealing with all manner of debauchery, and frankly, just a lost world that needs Christ. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to feel threatened by. Your design is not going anywhere. Your design for marriage is not going anywhere. Your design of male and female is not going anywhere. It's established. It is not, it may feel under threat. It is not under threat. It is not going to be removed. It cannot be wiped out. What you have settled in your word is true. And so make us the kind of people that seek this out, this wisdom that you have for us, understanding that we're going to fall under this, the wisdom that we scorn, the wisdom that we push back, the wisdom that we ignore is going to be the very wisdom of which we're the criteria, the formula by which we fall. It's a short and simple equation. And wisdom is crying out to us. Wisdom is calling out to us in the streets, in the busy streets, in our busy media world. Too busy. Too busy for wisdom, too busy to slow down, too busy to listen. It's going to be that simple formula that we find ourselves in despair. Because it's the criteria in which we should be operating our lives. God's wisdom. That's the kind of wisdom that we should be operating. That is the wisdom we should be operating our lives from. And I'm just wanting to be in agreement with you, God. At the onset, that I have my bearings before I can't ever match up, and I won't ever be completely okay to even impart truth. That's not the basis for which I open my mouth. The basis by which I open my mouth is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's it. But I pray that my heart is aligned to what you would have me to say today. Because it's a very sensitive subject as we deal with innocence, stripping of innocence, wisdom, total pushback on wisdom in our culture, in our society, and logic. We don't want it, but God, I fear that we're not aware that we will be under the equation of it. So I pray that you'll help us. In Jesus' name, amen. So as foundational, first, I need to share this one for those that are in Christ, Romans 6. I cannot see something. Great. 14, sorry. It's like really fine print, and I'm sitting here like in a dark office with just my screen blazing its light at me. So sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. That's foundational. But we live in a culture that will take that verse and ignore the rest of scripture, right? We don't want to know about wisdom. We do not want to seek anymore. We have put that on the shelf. But I'm here to say, and we're gonna read Proverbs the next 3 days, and then next week I go on retreat, that the wisdom that we spurn is the wisdom, is the equation that we will fail under. Because it's not going away. Let's read. It's almost as if we take the, obviously, we take the scriptures that we like, and we shove them under our belt, right? And we strap those on, but then we're done. You know, and we don't want to be challenged anymore. We don't want to surrender anymore. We don't want to be convicted anymore. We don't want to grow anymore. We don't want to adjust anymore to God's wisdom. We're done. We're done doing that. Because the problem is actually that the more that we do, we're afraid our light's going to shine brighter. And that it's going to be more obvious that we belong to Christ. And that's really the problem. Except wisdom doesn't go away. And so when wisdom comes around to take account of how we've spent our lives, how we've dealt with other people, how we've discipled other people, which is the reason why we're on this earth, when it comes in and it starts to take account, we're going to fall under that formula. I hate math, but there you have it. This wisdom isn't going away. And wisdom at the bottom level is time well spent on this earth. Definition. Biblical spiritual definition of wisdom is time well spent on this earth. In other words, God's view of how I do the thing on this earth. God's perspective on what, how I groove. That's basically wisdom. Right? But if we're compartmentalizing, we let God speak into this area, and we certainly judge somebody when we feel like they are not doing all that God would have them to do. So we leave that open too, and we want all kinds of wisdom, you know, flooding into there. But then there are certain areas that we're just like, no, we don't want the answers for that. And the sobering thing is that just because you pushed back on wisdom in that area doesn't mean that wisdom going away, bro. The wisdom calls out to us. I'm going to read Proverbs 1. Wisdom shouts. This is Proverbs 1:20 in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gate in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? How long are you going to pretend I don't have something to say about that area in your life? I want to sit that. Write down. How long are you going to pretend I don't got something to say about that? And you hear it again. How long? It's because you don't want to grow. It's because you don't want to step. I don't know what. How long? Because this is not going away. What it's going to mean is wasted time. What it's going to mean is that you chose not to have God's perspective on that area in your life. Or that frame of mind, that way of thinking. And it's just going to equal futility. And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. You know, there's always, you know, this, I hope we, you know, we've grown past this, but when you're in Christ and God decides to reprove you on something, I mean, we're at that place now that we understand that this is for our good, right? And not for our destruction. Oh, it still hurts. I mean, I can't say I'm past it. It still hurts. Sometimes I'm like, really? But I can't say, honestly, I can't look at the words of Scripture. There are definitely spirits that like to use God's word and whop me outside the head without any reconciliation or grace. But if you just decide, because that gives you bad feels, that it isn't God, I want to beg to differ. What you need to test the Spirit. Make sure that the Spirit confesses that Jesus is the Son of God and rose again the third day. Amen. But secondly, you need to check the ends of that reproof. Is there grace at the end of that? Is there a restoration at the end of that? Is that something, yeah, I had an issue. I know I've been. Hiding that from God. And he's just wanting to draw it out. He wants to, you know, me to see that he sees, that we all see what's going on. Even though I'm pretending that he doesn't see what's going on, but he's just letting me know. He's got both eyes on the subject. Is it that sort of thing where there's hope at the end? Or is it just like browbeating, like, you're the worst kind of worst, and there's no specifics? Like, no. No. Just don't even get up in the morning. That's not from Jesus. That's not even close. But if it's a reproof, it straightens you out and frees up your heart. And get on that train. Get on that one. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit on you. See? That's what the plan is. That's what the plan is. You're like, no, no, no. Palm up. No. I don't need any speaking of that. You really just like your sin. I don't want any of this. Hey, stop turning that away. My plan is to pour my Spirit on your life. But you're like, no. We can be so dumb. I will make my words known to you. That's good. Because I can read all kinds of things out of this scripture. I don't know if you're one, like, I read, super read into stuff, and I get all locked down in my brain, and I get circular, and it's not helpful, and there's no fruit coming from it. There's no fruit coming from it. But hey, look what these words say to me, that he will, if I turn, God is not confusing. I can know that for sure. He's not confusing. He's not like, here's a truckload of sins. I'm just going to dump on your face. Don't be specific, because I know I'm bad. My reproof, not all of my garbage dump of things that I have against you. That's not what he said. Turn at my reproof. It's specific. It makes sense. It's not confusing. You know that you need to repent. What's my plan? Pour my Spirit on you and make known my words to you. That means we wake up. We've been wandering around in our own way of doing things, and God plans to wake us up. That's what this is about. So, no, it's not about that. I'm just going to... I just, you know, closet really don't like you. No. Of course not. Now I'm thinking about it. How I went through part of my Christian walk thinking God was really on the edge of liking me when he sent his son to die for me. Oh, I think it's love. I think whatever motivates him to reprove us has a lot to do with love. And I'm being tongue-in-cheek. It's got everything to do with his love for you. But we live in trauma culture, right? We're not so sure, because people that said that they loved us also sideswiped us and threw us under the bus. So we've got questions about what this love is. Well, what will he do? If you take the step to repent at his reproof, what is his plan? Pour his spirit on you and make known his word. That means when you make known something to someone else, that's an introduction, right? But let's go a step further. Like, you can look at the movie preview all you want. You still haven't seen the movie. So now I've got this introduction to what the movie is. But until I go and I watch the movie and I hear what it has to say and I take in the message, I don't really know. And there's an illumination. I like going to movies. And I remember one time, I didn't even do it on purpose, but I got one of my kids had their birthday party at the movie theater, and it was just us. Like, I don't think anybody wanted to see it by then or something. Our long row of kids. And it was the greatest thing. We had one row, and it was totally full. All the kids. They thought it was great. Why? Why movie theater? Well, you're surrounded... I'm just trying to paint a picture for you. You're surrounded with this sound. Your eyes are illumined with a screen like way bigger than you. Right? We all got our TVs at home. But the movie theater screen is like over the top big. And they make the room dark so that all you can hear and all you can see is this movie message. That's what God's plan is. When he wants to make his words known to you, I mean, know them. Like, full. So maybe you're piddling around out here, not really invested in the truth that we find in God's word. But it's full. It doesn't get more real than the word of God. And you know what his plan is? We repeat in this class, his spirit in you, his words made known to you like a big old movie theater known. And they will light up in your heart, in your soul, in your mind. And they will clean, C-L-E-A-N, clean you. Because I called and you refused, this is verse 24. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all of my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh. Now this is wisdom talking. Yes? Yes. I think that some preachers like to say this is God talking, but Scripture clearly says wisdom, okay? Wisdom. And so, I would not jump to the conclusion that a lot of preachers would, that God sits there and laughs at people that are stupid, because we're all stupid, and that's just not, no. It clearly says wisdom, but you know what this also says to me? That there is I hate math. I hate it. There is a formula There's a form, if you know math, if you like math, my dad's a math genius. He was doing calculus 40 years out from college to help my brother. Like, the man can do it. And the reason why he likes math is because math works. The same, the rules apply everywhere. Plug in the numbers, plug in the formula, it will work. That's what wisdom is. Plug in the numbers, use the formula, it will work. Even on a human scale. God designed this world. There is matter, there's energy, there are formulas. Foundations were laid. It's a work. All the little intricate parts of our body, God designed. It did not come from you cannot derive intelligence and intelligent design from a non-intelligent source. So I'm sorry, my evolutionist friends. Nah, not gonna happen. I will never walk into a field and find an iPhone growing. I will never put all the parts of an iPhone in a bag and shake it up and get an iPhone. Nothing in our world, from the eye to conception to giving birth to an ear of corn, nothing in our world indicates accident. So when this scripture talks about wisdom, there's a formula. There's a formula that's working. There's a formula that God designed. And when you don't accept it, when you turn away from it, when you refuse it, you're going to fall under it, friend. Because I've tried to make 2 and 2, 6. I try. I mean, trying to help my son with his math. And he's only in 7th grade. And I'm like, oh. They're doing these geometry for him. I'm like, I have no idea. I'm looking it up. I'm watching the math videos with him. No idea. But you do it. When you do figure it out, hey, the problem works. It's a thing. What I'm trying to say is not avoidable. Oh, I know. We live in a world that's like, no, Sarah, they don't believe any of it. They don't believe God made man and woman. They don't believe God has a design, and the design is marriage for sex. And they don't believe that God created this place that we're standing on. They don't believe any of it. Wisdom, verse 26. I will also laugh at your calamity. Guys, in order to have some kind of compassion, some kind of empathy for people, and I'm sorry, I have to pull myself off social media and say, and bite my fist. Put something in my mouth. Just know. Stick to the word. Stick to the word. Stick to songwriting. Because my mouth can go off. I can't believe the stupidity. No, I'm for real. I'm for real. So, Lord's like, stick to the Bible. Keep that Bible in front of your mouth. In front of it. Or write a song. Because, sister, no. No. Those are your two areas. I got the feeling I was supposed to like comment on this movie recently, and I was like, don't put that in front of my face, because what I gotta say is not gonna be helpful. God's got, I'm sticking to my lane. The lane. Is this Bible in front of my face? Or guitar in front of my face? If we're going to apply any empathy, if we're going to apply any compassion, we've got to know their future. Because wisdom isn't going away. It's not being held for ransom, my friends. You're not losing anything. Wisdom's like, hello. Hello. Hi. I'm over here. This is obvious. This is obviously not a thing. Wisdom's loud and nobody's listening. But friend, wisdom's not being held for ransom. You're not under threat. You're not in, you don't need to be running for the hills and hiding. You don't need to be crying at night. You don't need to put the pillow over your head and I just can't wake up in this world anymore. I've had moments of anxiety, like recently, like, do I really want to move back to the States? Really? It's so divided and so ludicrous. But it's war is what's going on. And you're not on the losing side. I will mock when your dread comes. Win. Win is the operative word here. Win. When you're, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, and they will call upon me, and I will then answer. It's not just wait. God always answers. Wisdom is what they have failed. You need to have compassion and empathy. I just read a little blurb about a kid who had, she had gone through sexual transition surgery. I don't know. It wasn't the only case, so I'm going to assume that this was actual. This was an actual writing, because she's not alone. But the anguish of what she had done to her body when she was 10,000% sure this is what she wanted to do, and then regret that ensued, and there was just no undoing it. Christian, I want you to have empathy. And grace. They failed wisdom. And it failed God. Everybody failed God. Everybody. He made a way. He made a way. And I pray that the person I'm thinking of comes to him. And, oh man, he is ready to restore. He is ready to use their life, no matter what they've done. No matter. But let this be a sobering reminder that we are also not immune to shutting out wisdom. And wisdom is not going away. Peace out.
Again, thanks for listening. Catch the next part of this series, usually Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. You can also find Underground Crowds on Twitter, Patreon, Bandcamp, or undergroundcrowds.com.